Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 9. We're starting a new chapter, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 8. And I've entitled this evening's message, I Tell the Truth in Christ. I Tell the Truth in Christ. When we start looking into chapter 9, it's almost there's a shift with the Apostle Paul. And that shift is going to disclose how he feels about the nation of Israel, how he feels about the Jewish people, and he's going to tell us exactly what the Holy Spirit has brought to him in truth. You see, Paul was a truth teller, a truth seeker, and he was never ashamed of the gospel. This is why he was persecuted. Do you think he was persecuted because he was just a believer? No, he was bold about his faith. He preached in so many places. And because he came against the enemy, especially in the enemy's camp, that's where he met a lot of opposition. And until you go to the enemy's camp, we're not going to know what opposition is. But you go preach in a park somewhere, you'll have a demon come rolling up on you. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, they'll show up. They'll show up. So, are we ready? Let's go. Verses 1 through 8. And it reads, and here's where I got my topic. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. He's talking about his Jewish friends, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Look at this, verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Verse 5. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. And then he says, amen. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Oh, did you catch what he just said? He said, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Let's go a little further. Verse 7. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. I need you to catch this clearly here. But the children of the promise are counted as what? The seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah shall have what? A son. I want you to just ponder this right here in verse 8. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Wow. So even in our culture, our day and time, there are believers and unbelievers, huh, that are not the children of God. We got to make a distinction here. So let's break this down. Let's look at verse 1, 2, and 3 again. It says, I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Ghost is enlightening him. The Holy Spirit is giving him truth. The Holy Spirit is revealing what God has already established in the heavens. And now he's downloading it to give it to us through Paul. Look at this, that I have great sorrow and continued grief in my heart. For I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. This is how deep his sorrow is. That he came from the line of Benjamin. He was the attorney of the day. This guy had a bunch of accolades. This guy accomplished everything you can imagine in Judaism. And now that he's now born again and a slave to Christ, his heart bleeds for them because the majority of them rejected the Messiah. They rejected the living God. And nothing has changed. How many people do you know that have rejected Jesus? Nothing has changed. But here, during this time, he was sorrowful. Why? Because he wished that they would receive Christ like he did. He would say, man, if I could be accursed for them. In other words, take my place. It was saying, basically, in a nutshell, he was saying this. Spare their life, but kill me, God. Wow. This is so much sorrow he had for his people. Look at this, verse 3. And I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Wow. You see, saints, the words Paul writes bear the truth. He did not lie as his conscience and the Holy Spirit confirmed. There was no lie in this. This was truth that came from within him. You see, my friends, Paul reveals his depth of feeling here. He had deep sorrow for his brethren. We should have deep sorrow like the way he feels heavy right now and what we're reading. We should have the same sorrow for those who we know that are not saved. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. We should be crying out for them. Yeah. Have deep sorrow. Why? Because their only consolation is going to be hell if they die in their state. Right. That's all that's left. All the glory in their life will be whatever this earth has to offer, and then it ends. Wow. And so as the apostle to the Gentiles, which he was, with his great zeal for preaching to the Gentiles, he was probably often accused of turning his back on his own people. And he wasn't. Because after they rejected him, God sent him to the Gentiles. Which is us. How many so blessed to know that he went to the Gentiles? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To bring light to the Gentiles. Amen. That's who God raised up.
Thank you, Father.
He raised them up. And guess what? He's raising us up to go to preach to the Gentiles. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
That's why he saved us.
Yeah.
We're not wasted.
No.
He did not waste his time with us. And though his commission to preach the gospel took him outside Jewish boundaries, Paul never lost his love for his Jewish brothers and his sisters. But one thing is clear right here in Scripture. Look at this. In Romans 1:16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." For the Jew first. Notice, it was for the Jew first. And then also for the Greek, which is Gentiles. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Did you know every day we wake up, we're living by faith?
Yes, we are.
And we wake up every morning that He gives us. You know, the scripture says new mornings every day. He gives us new mornings every day. Well, the moment we wake up from our dead sleep, we have to realize we're still justified in His sight.
Amen. Thank
you, Lord. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We wake up just as if we never sinned. Because we're forever His. For the just shall live by faith. Every day, every moment, throughout the day, we're living by faith. Thank you, God. You see, Paul's sorrow was so intense that he was willing to be cursed and cut off from Christ. Wow. If by doing so, the Jews would be saved. That was his mind. Oh God, just save them. Cut me off, but save them. Can we come to a place with great sorrow for our family, our friends that are perishing? Can we come to that place? Because he came to that place without any reservation. He wore his heart on his sleeve. And of course he knew it would be impossible for God to curse him. Because what God calls blessed is blessed forever. Can I get amen?
Amen?
He has called us to be blessed. So we are a blessed people. But his expression shows the intensity of his affection for his people. Look what I found here in Matthew, right up here. Matthew 27:20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So I'm taking you here to show you they had an opportunity to receive Jesus, but they said, crucify him. We want Barabbas. Who was Barabbas? He was a murderer.
Yes.
He was a thief.
Yes.
I'm going to use King James terms. He was a whoremonger. That's King James. He did everything that was wicked and rebellious to God, and the people wanted him. Kind of like the debate last night. They still want her.
They don't even know why.
Mm-mm. And they didn't know why they wanted Barabbas. They just knew they didn't want Christ. Wow. Nothing's changed. Has anything changed?
Nope.
2,000 years later, nothing's changed. Wow. Wow, look at this. And then the governor answered and said to them, which of these two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Look at this. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Wow. Listen, I need you to catch this. He raised the dead. He healed the blind eyes. He caused the mute to speak. He gave new legs to those who were paraplegics. He cleansed the lepers. He did everything that no one has ever seen or done, ever. And yet, they said, crucify him. Wow. Amazing. Totally amazing when you read this. It's like, how do you define stupid?
Last night's debate.
Last night's debate. Wow.
He exposed their iniquities.
Yeah. Hated
them for.
Yes.
Yeah.
There it is. They didn't want to be confronted about their sin.
Yep. Amen. They didn't like hearing it.
Woo! He told the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let's move on to verse 4 and 5 of Romans chapter 9. Let's go here. Here we go. Who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises? Verse 5. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. And then he says, amen. We all know God is blessed. Amen. He's blessed beyond blessed. We need to be thankful that he has blessed us.
Yes, for everything.
And so Paul lists the benefits of being a Jew. And they were God's chosen nation. I hope you know that. They still are. He's still going to have his way with them. But it's going to take gathering them all there, so then when he returns, they will see now the nail-pierced hands and the sword that was in the side. Until they see that, they're still looking for their Messiah. And they had witnessed his glory all the way from Abraham until the time that Paul was writing the book of Romans. They all witnessed the glory of God. They received his covenants and his law. They worshiped him and received the promises. Yet when Jesus showed up, they failed to recognize that he was the promise. It's like staring a gift horse in its face. You can't recognize this is my blessing here. And so look at these scriptures that I found, which were evidence of the covenant that God made. Look at this in Genesis 17:2. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. This is God promising the nation of Israel. Way back in Genesis. And Pastor Art's teaching us through Genesis, and now we're in Exodus. Look at the Exodus 4:22. Then tell Pharaoh that this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn what? Son. No other nation can proclaim that. No heathenistic nation can say that God is our God. They all are idol worshipers.
Or don't exist.
They made idols from the ground to worship a false god. Look at this. Exodus 40:34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It filled that place. And they were in the presence of God. And they recorded all that. Look at Deuteronomy 4:13. He declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to follow, the Ten Commandments that he wrote on two tablets of what? Stone. Look in Deuteronomy 7:6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. In other words, you've been set apart. I have sanctified you to serve the living God. And when Jesus showed up, they missed it. Because Jesus quoted everything from the Old Testament. And he did everything imaginable to convince them. If you don't believe who I am, believe, he said, the works that I do. And what did he do? He caused the storm to be silent. He raised the dead. He healed the eyes. He healed the mute. He cleansed the lepers. Oh, come on. He even raised up some that had died. The little girl and Lazarus. He did all these things right before them. And yet they still were walking in unbelief. That's what you call a hard head.
Stiff neck.
Stiff neck, hard head, knucklehead. Don't let me find those whole words, please. Because they're gone. Don't let me bring them back. Look at this. Deuteronomy 14:1. You are what? sons of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave your foreheads on behalf of the dead. Things that he told them that should be sealed in their heart. Look at Deuteronomy 29:14. I am making this covenant and this oath not only with you. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, the ancestors had been great people of God, and Christ himself was a Jew in fulfillment of every one of those promises. A fulfillment. Yet they didn't see it. Christ was more than just a Jew. He is God. He is God who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. And then if you want to really get a defined explanation, it's found in 1 Timothy 3. Look at this right up here. In 1 Timothy 3:14, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is what? The church of the living God. Not too many places you find the word church, but you find it in this passage. The pillar and the ground of truth. Now look at this. Verse 16. Here it is. This is what you can share to all your unbelieving friends. Verse 16. Look at this. And without controversy. Say that with me. And without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was what? Manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen by angels. Preached among the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. And was received up in glory. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. He came down and he clothed himself in flesh and became like one of us. How many are so blessed to know that? He experienced all the infirmities. He experienced all the things that you and I have gone through in life. And yet, there was still no sin found in him. Wow. So this is where the Jews got hung up. They couldn't see this. What do you mean? Because a lot of them said, wait a minute. This is the carpenter's son. What good thing could come out of Nazareth? Look where we came from. Some of us OTNC, some of us what? National City, East San Diego. Oh, come on. What good thing could come out of those areas?
Thank you, Jesus.
I need you to turn to your neighbor and say, you came out of those areas, and God calls you. Hallelujah. Good.
Thank you, Jesus. You.
Yeah. Thank you. That's right. He called this boy. Yo, yeah, this one over here. This one right here. Right here. She's in the north wing. We're coming back to the north and the west wing. So let's move on to verse 6. But is it not that word of God has taken no effect? For they are not all Israel who are what? Saved. And so, saints, the Jewish nation as a whole did not respond to the gospel as we know now, right? Even today. I know there are some that are getting saved, but the majority of them are not saved. They're all secular. Most of them are secular. And even though God's gifts had made them better prepared than any other nation to receive Christ, they still are walking in unbelief. But on the surface, it might seem that God has failed to fulfill his promise to the Jews, which, no, he did not fail anywhere. God cannot fail. But that is not the case. Can I get an amen? Human beings failed. Earlier in this letter, Paul clarified that not everyone born into a Jewish family is truly a Jew. That is, not all Jews are part of spiritual Israel. Did you know that? You know what? When I was putting this together, I had to God, show me how to put this together. Because for a moment, I say, man, how do I relate to this? And then God was downloading to me. God was speaking to me. Okay, so look what he wrote in Romans 2:28. And then I'm going to tell you what he gave me. Look at this. In Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that was outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Are you catching this? You know what he means by that? This means that the one that is born again is part of the lineage. But I'm going to share exactly a little closer after I read a couple of these verses. Look in Romans 11:5. Look at this right up here. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. I know for some of you, it's probably going like this. Let's look what he wrote to the Galatian church. Galatians 3:7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. What? Okay, we're getting closer to what God showed me. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by what? By faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And so let me just say this. Israel's history demonstrates that God was fulfilling his promises apart from human failures and misunderstandings. But Paul illustrates this from two Old Testament events. I need you to catch this now. Look at this. Number one, the lineage passing from Abraham to Isaac rather than who?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you see this? Yeah. Okay. So God was dealing with me on this. I kept asking him, well, what about us today? What about us today? Okay. So let's look at Genesis 17:19. Look at this. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear. Look at this. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, he's talking to Abraham, shall bear a son. And you shall call his name what? Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after who?
After him.
Look at this. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princesses, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with who?
Isaac.
From Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Now, look at my second point up here. The lineage passing from Isaac to Jacob rather than Esau.
Right.
So as you can see, God had made a separation. First of all, he didn't want Ishmael to be the covenant one. Okay, so this is why you hear it like this. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? So the lineage passing from Isaac to Jacob rather than to Esau. You know why? You know, we go around thinking, God had to show this to me. We go around thinking, wait a minute, God loves everybody, doesn't he? Nowhere do we read anywhere in Scripture that he hates people or he hates an individual. Have you read that? I had to dig deep. And God showed me something because he's sovereign. He's a sovereign God, and he chooses whatever he chooses to take as his own. So who are we to say he's never said anything like that? Well, I got Scripture to show you. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to show you in Scripture. Okay, you ready? Look at this. Look at Malachi 1:1-3. The burden of the word of the Lord is to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, and what have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated.
Yep, there it is.
I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this. Because all of us are finding ourselves under the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't come from Esau. We didn't come from the other character, did we? God was showing me all those that he's saving is coming through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because he hated Esau.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. Oh, God loves everyone. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. He knew it wasn't his. Yeah, it wasn't his. He knew his heart. It would never be his.
He knew that he would never love him like he loved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
Or King David. Yes.
Second will be the lineage.
Yes. Yes. He knew. He knew. He knew.
They're fighting in the womb.
Oh, come on.
Even that, huh? Yeah. Grab it on.
He goes, but Esau I have hated and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. You don't want, you don't want to be on that side. You don't want to be with that group. You don't want to go back to Egypt,
nope.
Believer. You never want to backslide and go back. Can I get amen?
Amen. Don't do it.
They'll go dancing with the devil again. That's not our place no more. God has delivered us. Can I get amen? Even though we get tempted, even though he comes to fight our mind, I was sharing with my wife. I go, honey, why is it that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? The flesh is so weak. That's why we can't trust our flesh. That's why we can't see certain things that will trigger things, especially with us men. We see some things that are illicit. It'll trigger things. Can I get amen?
Amen. We have our stuff too.
Why? Because the flesh is weak. Now the woman has their own traps.
We have our
you guys got your own traps too. We all have traps.
It looks different, but it's there.
But it's there. It's there. Wow. Is the Spirit of God saying something here tonight? Is God revealing us things that maybe we've forgotten? Wow. Esau, I have hated and laid waste in his mountains and heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. So let's move on to verse 7, 8, and 9. Here we go. Nor are they all children because they are not the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Let me ask you this question. If they're not the seed of God, who are the seed of? Satan. So let me go as far as this. Before we were conceived in our mother's womb, we were already blessed by God. Can I get an amen of that? We had no clue. Because we're born in the flesh. Remember, we're born in the flesh. But then God came knocking, and he opened the door. And then guess what? Why do you think you ran and embraced the cross? Because the Bible says he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. And something woke us up. Can I get an amen? Aren't you so blessed to be called one of his? Come on, this is why every night you go to bed, every morning you wake up, you got to have a song in your heart and say, God, thank you for saving a wretch like me. We don't deserve this great salvation, but yet you still chose to save us. Woo! Thank you. I'm so thankful every day. I'm thankful for everything that he has given me. You should be thankful for everything he's given you. Yes. He has given me, number one, salvation. Amen. He gave me a beautiful wife. Amen. He gave me wonderful children and great-grandchildren. Amen. He's left us a heritage.
Thank you, Lord.
He's seen that what we sowed is not in vain.
Amen.
Jesus, be thankful. See, people need to be in the Word like this to be reminded how good God is. When you don't hear time and time again how good God is, you're going to forget who He is. We need this. I need to be reminded. My wife reminds me constantly on things that are good for me. Because I forget right away. Thank you, Jesus. That's right, I do. And I think, and I forget them on purpose. Okay?
No, that is the thing. Yeah, that's the thing.
I forget them on purpose. I don't want to remember that. Okay? When you walk around,
Have another.
It was. The man had some good pizza last night. Yeah, it was good, bro. It was good.
Now you're making me hungry.
Well, how do you girls do this? Don't worry, they're not seeing this. I got the Word up there. Hallelujah. For this is the word of promise at this time. I will come and Sarah shall have a son. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul's first illustration of God's sovereign choice is Abraham and his children. It's a sovereign choice. God chose it. Abraham didn't choose this. His wife was thinking, what God are you speaking to? Is it on the third shelf or the second shelf? Remember, they had a store. Selling little idols.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, just being Abraham's physical descendants does not guarantee an inheritance. Did you catch that?
Yep, that's what we're seeing, the Jews, yeah.
That's where Ishmael, yep. He was the father of Ishmael. And look at their descendants. A lot of them are not saved.
Yeah, a lot of them are with the father.
Wow. There's no guarantee with that. There's a guarantee if you come from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now there's a guarantee. Can I get an amen? Because Abraham, he slept all kinds of them. Abraham had all kinds of other kids. What do you mean? Oh, yes. Yes, he did. Look at this. The line of natural descent was not the same as the line of promise. So in other words, just because you descended from that group, there's no promise in that. And there was no promise through that lineage of Esau and Ishmael. No promise. None whatsoever. Abraham had children by three different women. Isaac by Sarah was the first. Look at this, right up here, look at this. And the Lord visited Sarah and he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age and the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Look at verse 5 right up here. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have, what, borne him a son in his old age. Wow. And then Abraham had Ishmael by Hagar. Huh? Oh, yes. Abraham had Ishmael by Hagar. Look at this. In Genesis 16. And the angel of the Lord said to her, to who? To Hagar. Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And then he had more children from another woman. It was with who? Keturah. Keturah. Look at this. Genesis 25:1-2. Abraham again took another wife. And her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Wow. You say that four times and you'll be speaking in tongues.
They're the descendants of the Midianites.
Yes. 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 Pastor Art's teaching us all that. But God made it clear that Isaac was the son through whom Abraham's descendants shall be counted. Shall be counted. Thank you, God. God made a sovereign choice regarding who among Abraham's physical descendants would carry the line of promise.
Wow.
And the line that would result in the Messiah. Because from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then one of the greatest kings to ever come was David, right? And guess where Jesus is going to sit in when he comes back? He's going to sit on the throne of David. Whoa! On the throne of David. My goodness. You see, God did not choose Isaac because he was better than his half-brothers. The choice was made before Isaac was even born. Instead, it was simply God's sovereign choice, meaning he chooses whom he shall choose. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. It is the children of promise who are considered to be Abraham's children. Praise God. God's sovereignty, not people's work or character, is the basis for election. It's his sovereignty. He didn't look at you and say, look at all these great features that I see here, and I don't see that much in this one. He doesn't choose like that. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He did it because he just wanted to do it. It was his choice. Amen? The Jews were proud of the fact that their lineage came from Isaac, whose mother was Sarah, Abraham's legitimate wife, rather than from Ishmael, whose mother was Hagar, Sarah's maidservant. But Paul, listen to this, Paul asserts that no one can claim to be chosen by God because of his or her heritage for good deeds. You see, they thought just because they came from Abraham, oh, we got it going on. We got it made. No. You still have to go through Jesus.
That's right.
Can I get an amen?
Absolutely.
And as we've been reading, they rejected him. God freely chooses to save whomever he wills. The doctrine of election teaches that it is God's sovereign choice to save us by his goodness and mercy, not by our own merit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We're going to continue next week with the next verses, and it will be continuing in chapter 9. Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that while we were all yet sinners, you died for us. Oh God, I'm praying, Lord, for those who are listening to this message and maybe never given their heart to you, that they would have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. Only you know them, God. You've asked us to plant and to water. But the Word of God says only you give the increase. So Lord, those who are watching and listening, give them the increase. Those who we have sown in the past, in the present, and even in the ones that we're about to sow into in the future. Lord, would you give them a mind to be saved, a heart to repent? Lord, can we have a heart like Paul, who said, I'd rather be cursed so that all of them can be saved? Do we still have that same heart for our loved ones that are perishing, knowing that there's an eternal fire awaiting all those who are not yours? Wow. Oh God, have mercy. Have mercy, oh God. Because everyone that stands before you will not have an excuse to say they never heard the gospel. Because you will bring back to their remembrance every time someone came to witness to them. Every Christian movie maybe they saw. Every scripture that they have read, somehow, some way, you will show them that you were there all the time. And so, God, we cry out for mercy. Thank you, God, that you saved us. And we know that you're going to save more. And so, God, I'm crying out for those who don't know you. Give them a mind to be saved and a heart to repent, God. Mercy, mercy, mercy is what we're asking you, Lord, to extend your hand of mercy to those who are listening right now. And if that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would surrender your heart and that you would receive this great and wonderful salvation that you have given to us. We are heaven bound now and a hell to shun. And it was all done by your right hand of mercy. And so if that's you, pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout. Is he worthy? Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.